This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 21st of January, 1958. The title of this lecture is Intensive Procedure, Question and Answer Period. This tape is 25 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions. Please note, this tape begins abruptly as did the original master recording.
You graduate him right on upstairs. You have a hell of a time the first time. He doesn't do it well. He sweats and strains. An apple on Keep It From Going Away was perfectly easy, and by the time you got it into Hold It Still, you were a god. The whole first series of six on a total automaticity. And every time he mocked up an apple, it went wiggle, woggle, wobble, boomp, and started shooting out the windows and everything. And he managed to mock up a fish net and grab hold of it and bring it back and something like this. You know, it doesn't matter what randomity occurred. Now all of a sudden you're going to go onto the same object and you're simply going to blandly tell him to hold them still. Well, you're asking for some loses, perhaps. But the truth of the matter is you get there faster rather than validating his difficulty with the automaticity. So you ask him to hold him still, and you could even go so far as, come on, just for a minute, so that you know you did it, just for an instant. And the fellow finally will figure out something. Well, if I take a quick drag of breath like that, just for an instant, it stands still, just for the instant, I did it, because I did, yeah, I can do that, yeah, got it.
You want a completely null object, I mean, no needle movement whatsoever.
What would you do if you couldn't find one? You would take the nullest object. Okay.
Could this possibly be run without an e-meter?
Yes, but I'm afraid that you would get eye strain watching the pre-clear's reactions, trying to sort out the null objects and all of that sort of thing. I'm not going to tell you it can't be done, because I have done it, and the processes were done originally, totally without an e-meter. And I found out an e-meter did this. It gave us a greater security, let us get into less trouble, and let me get into less trouble, you see. And in addition to that, ran so much faster. An e-meter cut the time down by about two-thirds. You had to be so sure it was null that you often unflattened it and unflattened and unflattened it. There are liabilities to running it without an e-meter, but it can be run. Yes.
In picking the six null objects, would you pick all six before you ran the first one on Keep It From Going Away?
No. No, you do not. You pick them one at a time.
So you pick one, Keep It From Going Away, another one, Keep It From Going Away,
right,
and so forth?
Right.
All right. Would you pick them according to increasing size?
You always ask for a bigger one.
Okay.
So the guy gave you a universe the first time. He's sunk. Got it?
Got it.
All right.
You mentioned different body locations. We referenced the individual. One in front of him, one behind.
Right. Right. Now, the reason for that is that Thetan is a 360-degree sphere vision. And he's so used to looking through eyeballs that you get him out of this quite incidentally. There are, by the way, a tremendous number of side effects that are built into these processes. You're handling 15, 20 phenomena every time you handle one. This has really been grooved down here from the standpoint of side effects, you see. Yes.
You said to the right or left of the individual, you said to the right or left, front, back of the body when you were speaking of it.
Yeah, body. Yeah. Yes?
Does he have to stay interior like that when he's putting them around his body, or can he get out and back and...
I don't know. I'd hate to run mock-ups inside a body.
Yeah, but what I mean is, can he get in back of the body and still mock these gadgets up around the body?
Why, sure.
Oh, all right.
Matter of fact, I've had so little to do with his body the last week or two that I... it's practically fallen apart. And, in doing a little bit of patch-up and so forth, I started throwing mock-ups around it and found it was quite interesting. I found out I was getting a lash back from the body, a rather definite lash back from the body, which was restraining some facets of exteriorization, don't you see? There's always a few more viewpoints stuck in the body. You got the idea? And if you don't work those viewpoints out of the body, the guy is still trapped. See? He's not here, and it doesn't matter. He was an HGC pre-clear.
But on this putting it around in various places, this person was being run on step six by a staff auditor. And he is a bow and arrow expert. He's an archery boy. He goes out and kills deer with them and so forth. And he got into more trouble last Thursday than anybody has gotten into for a long time, just on the same thing you're asking about. He all of a sudden started to plow into existence viewpoints, remote viewpoints, which were parked all around the body. And these things came live and could see much better than he could. As a result, when he went out on the range, I think Thursday night, he went out and did a little bow and arrowing. He could see the bow, and it looked like it was shooting over this way, you see. And from another viewpoint, he was watching a target, which was over there, but the target was way over there, and the bow was way over here, and he couldn't get a bow lined up with a target. And he had about 15 or 20 remote viewpoints alive at the same time. So he didn't know whether he was back here holding the bow, or shooting it himself, or what. And this all came about just by freeing remote viewpoints out of the body by placing mock-ups in proximity to the body, not the thetan. Got it? All right. Yes.
About how long is this step six?
About how long?
How many hours? I mean, between what and what?
In running step six? Well, it's run anywhere from right now. I can only tell you the existing figures. And they are from 10, a rather incomplete job, but it turned out to be a satisfactory one. And 32.
Between 10 and 32.
Yeah, on step six only.
Yeah. I was just sort of thinking, we don't have these images. Are we going to get enough time in on this?
Oh, yes. You've got, I think it's 79 hours per person, because we have allowed a factor of safety there of 100%. See that? The only place you're liable to run into any real trouble is there's undoubtedly somebody here who will make the process control the pre-clear rather than himself. And he may have to go clear back to the beginning and do it all over again because he'll get into step six and he'll start running and the meter will at once tell him there's something real random here. And the only real answer to that is just go right back to the beginning and carry on through again. You will probably be doing this on a patch-up basis on a 25-hour basis when you get out of here. You'll just sort of drop it at the end of 25 hours and say, well, that's that. And then let the guy flounder on out of the rest of it in the next few weeks. Evidently, that happens. It's interesting. I mean, after you've done this to somebody, they kind of walk through the labyrinth afterwards just as though they were going on being audited. They get up to the conclusions that they would have gotten up to with another 15 hours of auditing, don't you see? They eventually go. It's like starting to launch something, not at Cape Canaveral, but it's like starting to launch something and it just keeps on going regardless. Any other questions with regard to this? Yes?
On the step eight, make some time. Is that to stabilize it pre-clear or what?
You didn't hear me. There aren't any. We look in vain here for a step eight.
I noticed in clear procedure.
You're not doing clear procedure.
Okay.
If you've been listening to me in the last hour thinking I was describing clear procedure, look at it again, because you are not even auditing out of the book clear procedure. It's not the same process.
What's step five?
In our intensive of the 19th ACC, we are calling step five. This can cause some confusion. It is creative processing.
Okay.
I see what you're up against. You're comparing this to clear procedure. You went to a Congress, and you heard me lay it down the line at a Congress, and then you come here, and you hear me lay another one down the line. You think I'm laying the same one down the line. And I'm not laying it down the line. I'm laying down a process here for a professional auditor. And the Congress, I laid him down for anybody. You get that? You understand the difference now between what I laid down in clear procedure, the booklet, and what I talked about at the Congress. That is couched at somebody out here knowing a few technical terms, no great training in auditing. They'll inevitably get hold of that booklet, and they will have to go up those steps, and we have to have a good surety. And that's something like you take this cylinder that's supposed to handle some gas, and the cylinder has been well tested, and we know that it will handle this gas under pressure, so then we tape it up. And then after we've taped it up, why, we put an additional casting on the outside of it, and we pack it down real safe in earth, and then we say, here, it's safe. And we consider the naked cylinder safe in your hands. We pay you that compliment, don't you see? But letting this other one out into the public, you might say, there are certain things that these people would have to be very, very careful of, that you would consider anybody absolutely nuts if they weren't careful of it, and it will be brand new news to these people. See? What, you don't kick a pre-clear, you know? It's not the same procedure that's laid down. They will get there on clear procedure, but they won't get there that fast. That's for sure. Not by a ratio of 5 to 1 hours. See? Any other questions? Okay. You know all about it now, huh? Very interesting that none of you have asked me anything about the only tough part of clear procedure. The only tough part is the delicacy and imagination which is required to clean up a field so somebody can see pictures. Now, that's tough. That requires real, on-the-ball auditing. Yes.
You made it sound so simple, we just took it for granted we could all do it like that.
All right, you go ahead and do it just like that, but you will find out that it is not something you will get off a sheet. That's something you've got to look at and be sensible about and work with and be very patient with, because an invalidation at that point can throw a guy into the basement.
This lecture is continued on side 2 of this cassette.
What would happen, Ron, if you had somebody who had a black field and yet who had a good solid certainty of getting mock-ups even though he could not see them with a visual perceptive sort of a thing, and you went ahead and ran the creative process on another?
Well, now, that hasn't been done. We have taken it on the basis that if he's got a black field, he is obsessively keeping the blackness from going away. Now, the last field of blackness which I cleared up so spectacularly easily, I don't think there's any use straining at it. And that is to say, I merely had the fellow mock up on six sides of the body a hand with a pinch of blackness between the fingers. And had he keep the hand from going away and keep the blackness from disappearing. And we did it for about 8 or 9 passes. And all of a sudden, he says, "What blackness?" He was getting beautiful, flesh-colored mock-ups of arms and hands and so forth. And all of a sudden, he said, "I'm putting those there." And that was the end of the black field. This black field, by the way, had been resistive to every other process. You know, the person had been processed on all the objective processes, and he still had a black field. So it was one of those rough black fields. Well, there's no reason particularly to go over it. There are so many phenomena which occur in handling a black field that to even catalog them would be a long job.
What would I do in this particular case?
You would just get a black terminal and have him shove it into the body. You would undoubtedly start going aniten, and you would keep right on running it. And the whole phenomena has come up twice in the last 2 weeks at the HGC. Fellow lay awake all night long trying to plug up the holes in his black field in one case, which I consider this was very, very amusing. And every time one would eat through, as he described it, floods of facsimiles would pour in upon him, and he would plug the hole back up again. All night long he was at this. Came in the next morning to be audited, utterly exhausted, had a remedy of black terminals, and the black field disappeared entirely, and no facsimiles poured in upon him, which left him very mystified. Yes?
When you say cleaning up the field, just to what point do you consider the field cleaned up? To the point that he can make mock-ups and see
them? He's got to be able to make and see a mock-up. That's right. If he can make and see a mock-up, you wouldn't have to clean up the field. That's right. But this is your point of judgment, see? And yet, what I've just said is not a law or a rule. See?
Well, you made a point at the Congress about a chap who was getting his mock-ups against a field. He was looking at them against his eyelids. Now, in that case, when you cleaned up the field, what would be the end result? You'll be able to see the mock-up from the beginning.
Yeah.
But when you got the field, cleaned up the field, you got the mock-up outside.
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter if he's still got the against something?
No. You see, he's merely using the against something to keep the mock-up from going away. He has settled upon a final answer on this. He says, if I mock up a mock-up against an eyelid, it won't go away. If I mock it up against a door, it won't go away. If I mock it up against the ceiling, it won't go away. You see, he just got an automaticity. Well, as you start to run him on mock up a girl and keep her from going away, well, he'll mock it up happily against his eyelid, you know. Yeah, he said, I've kept her from going away. I mocked her up against my eyelid. And that's all right with you. You go right on around, and you say, mock it up behind you, and he can't find anything to mock it up against, and he finally says, well, let's see, and struggle, and eventually he keeps this girl from going away himself, and at that moment he quits this trick, you see? Now, here is the variable point of the procedure. I wouldn't begin to catalog the number of odds and ends of phenomena that you will run into in trying to clean up a field. There's phenomena there. See, it's all weird. You clean up a black field and get a skyrocket field. And you clean up a skyrocket field and you get a red field. And you clean up the red field and you get a green field. And you say, oh, to hell with it. Can you see a mock-up? The fellows will, yes, I can always see a mock-up. Now, although I could tell you the end cognition he comes to when it's safe to leave all this, there's no sense much in doing so, but there's no harm in telling you either, because you could artificially come to this condition, and if it wasn't so, and you just said, I can do this, and you couldn't do it, why, it's very, very manifest. A person begins to be able to do all these things after a while by postulate only. Well, that's one state that is reached. And you know that then that you have walked upstairs a good long distance. to get somebody to just be able to keep something from going away, or just to be, and below that, just to be able to see something, and below that, just to be able to be under control enough so that he can do this on command, you see. These are all steps that are achieved. You are all through when you can run the person on keep it from going away, six objects, and keep it from going away nice and easy, you know, without a single kick on the E-meter, and hold it still on six objects without a single kick on the E-meter, and hold it and make it more solid, six objects without a single kick on the E-meter. That's it. That's it. For that state of earth, you know, mess clear. Boy, that's good enough. You know, boy, that's really good enough. So it doesn't depend on what he says at all. You couldn't care less. Now, he could know intellectually what all these things are, you see, without knowing them subjectively. And that's fine. Any one of you at this moment could, quote, mock yourself up as clear. You see, and after you've audited it for a little while without it being audited on you at all, you could put up an awfully good front, you see, as being clear. There'd be nothing wrong with doing that at all. But the truth of the matter is, there would be no subjective backup. You might appear very positive, but you would have a doubt. You see? Well, that grades on down to the point of where the fellow even thinks he's certain. You know? But fortunately, we have a totally mechanical test for it. Well, you know, we never had a test for state of clear before. And I have just given you one just now. Take any six objects and keep them from going away, any six objects and hold them still, any six objects and make them more solid without a tremor on an E-meter. And if he can do that, why, you got it made. As a matter of fact, that probably will be a little better than the state of clear which will be at once reached here in class, because it'll smooth out from the end of your class reach on. You probably get a kick on something. You mean you could probably still get an E-meter reaction from somebody on something. You could say, keep her on from going away. The guy'd get some kind of a kick up or down. Pardon now? Right. A repair of havingness on an unconscious preclear is possible only when he has gone unconscious from repair of havingness. In other words, you cannot take an unconscious preclear, walk up to him, and start to run repair of havingness and expect much to happen. But the person was awake and alert, and you did start to repair havingness, and as you ran it, he went unconscious. The funny part of it is he follows you all the way through. He doesn't give a quiver. He's so much out of control of the body, he couldn't make it twitch, but he does follow the commands all the way through. As a matter of fact, if you just run it until he's conscious again, and don't run it flat, he is liable to forget the session and still have a clear field from there on. And you say, do you remember that session we ran on Tuesday? You say, what session? The one where you went unconscious while we were pushing black masses into the body. No, I don't remember any such session. You didn't do that to me. That's because blackness is a symbol of not know. That's why they go unconscious on blacknesses. Yes. Will we need to register on that? Oh, yes. 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 There's probably no such thing as an absolute unconsciousness. There's some Satan's wish. You know that if you tested the depth of sleep from person to person, it could be tested with an E-meter. It's just how much do they register on an E-meter while they're asleep. And you know that you can strap E-meter terminals to people's feet. It doesn't bother them. You get the same readings. And you would find that some people registered and some people didn't, all in greater and lesser degree, and it would be a direct test of depth of sleep. How asleep is the person or Thetan while the body is asleep? That answered? Okay. You know the difference between a repair of havingness and a remedy of havingness? Well, a repair of havingness is simply shove it into the body, and a remedy of havingness is shove it in and throw it away. Both things accomplished. Do you know why we're not now talking about a remedy of havingness? is because keep it from going away takes care of the ability to throw it away. I know one case that had we known this, that person would be in good shape today, but that person's no longer with us. It's just totally stemmed on a remedy of havingness. The person could not remedy havingness easily. Could not. Pull them in, but not throw them away. Couldn't get rid of anything. Of course, I guess you should never feel bad about not knowing something back then. All right. I'm getting very, very good reports on your class activities, and it has been said by your instructors, who should know, that this is probably the best ACC that we have ever had in terms of people. So thank you very much for being here, and I'll see you tomorrow.